out of.
It was a sensor.
It was.
They heard the sensor report.
Yeah, they laid it over and then.
All right, Representative McCann, tell us about House Bill 1204.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and some of the members of the committee. Did everyone leave because they don't like me or what? But anyway, this is House Bill 1204. Essentially continues the regulation of the hemodialysis technicians that is currently in place, and it also implements recommendations of the Sunset Review Committee, recommendations from DORA. So currently, Section 25.5-1.5-108 in our current statute establishes the requirements that dialysis treatment clinics must meet, must hire certified technicians to qualify for licensure. So they, the clinics, must assure that all hemodialysis technicians they employ have been certified and also operate under the supervision of a nurse or a doctor. And currently, CDPHE is tasked with verifying that the dialysis clinics meet that requirement. This bill simply extends the requirement until 2019. This is an important provision for public safety and health. I think most of you know what dialysis involves. It's a risky procedure, and it is an important procedure. In the process, and I actually have a clinic in my district, which I have visited, so the process involves the technician using a very large needle to remove blood from the patient, and it takes 3 to 4 hours. The blood has to be cleaned and then put back into the patient. So the patient really needs to be monitored throughout this process because it is a dangerous process, and it does involve the removal of quite a bit of blood. So it's important for the technicians to have training on how to both do the process itself, but also how to monitor the patient for any unusual symptoms that might indicate that there is some problem. They also need to know how to clean and operate the equipment so that it is kept sterile. And it's also important that they be operating under medical supervision. DORA noted in its review that there, from the people that they interviewed, there was no objection to this certification procedure, and patients anecdotally reported that they thought the technicians had improved since the state of Colorado has implemented this requirement that they be certified. So I've had at least one representative ask me if this is duplicitous of federal regulations. So essentially what happens is the Colorado law mirrors the federal law in terms of the requirement for certification. But Colorado law also requires the supervision of the nurse or doctor. And the required certification can be obtained either through a state program or a federal program. In our case, we don't have a state certification program, so the technicians become certified through one of three national programs, and they do that on their own. So the bill continues that requirement and continues the requirement that our own state agency be the one that makes sure the centers are complying with the requirements. And it also incorporates the recommendations of DORA that the verification process be part of the routine inspections that are done by CDPHE of these clinics. And it implements the suggestion that we add the term licensed to physicians, so the supervision is conducted by a licensed physician, and we change the term RN to a licensed professional nurse. I want to explain also the fiscal note, because some of you may have had this experience this year, but the fiscal analysts are now, if a DORA recommends a continuation of a program that's already in effect, they are showing a fiscal note to continue the 0.2 FTE in this case. that's already in place. So it isn't new money, it's just continuing what's already there, but the fiscal analysts have decided that this makes it makes it clearer, and they are, as I understand, they doing this for any bill where there's a continuation of a current FTE. So it doesn't really have any fiscal impact for this year. So with that, I think I will end my, well, I just want to end, I guess, by saying that this seems to me like a pretty straightforward bill situation. It's a continuation of a decision that the legislature made several years ago that we ought to have a state certification requirement, but that we would do it through requiring that the facilities hire certified technicians. And that process seems to have worked quite well. CDPHE has been able to make sure that it's been implemented, and from what I understand, the facilities and the patients are very pleased to have assurances that the people who are doing dialysis are trained and have a certification under a national certification program. So with that, I will close unless you have any questions. We do have some witnesses here as well.
Okay, questions from the committee? All right, seeing none, we'll move directly to witnesses. We have, basically four signed up all in a position in support of the bill, and Ellen Graham is here from DORA to answer any questions if necessary.
And so, I don't have a particular order, so whatever order they signed up.
All right, we'll have Chris. Is it Schwab? Okay, I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't. There it is. Welcome, Chris. Please introduce yourself and who you represent for the record.
My name's Chris Schwab. I'm the father of a daughter that's dealing with a kidney disease. And I've done some volunteer work for an organization called Dialysis Ethics. I'm also a member of a Front Range Kidney Patients Association. And, start my testimony here. We'll go back to the year 2000, and I felt like a parent had been hit by a meteor, and I had a daughter who looked like she'd been hit by a meteor. She was dealing with kidney disease. My mood didn't exactly improve when I started hearing things, reading things like unique in medicine for an increasing mortality rate. This is from a winner of a Lifetime Achievement Award in hemodialysis. And, I heard about the lower mortality rate in Japan, and I heard that there was no obvious difference in patient selection. The Japanese accept almost as high a proportion of diabetic patients as does the United States, and the mean age of patients in Japan was actually higher. This is from a former executive director of Northwest Kidney Centers. I heard things like staff used to be mostly nurses, now it's mostly techs. If you look at the DORA report, they reported a ratio of one tech for four nurses. Well, nowadays, reverse that. And from the testimony of Dr. Kenneth Bays in front of the US Senate, said it itched as if there were 1,000 mosquito bites. He was talking about a buildup of phosphorus, and he's testifying about his inadequate treatment, something I was witnessing firsthand back in those days with my daughter. I went to Graff to see what was happening with dialysis. It was a ski slope upwards for mortality, a ski slope upwards for infections. So it was obvious 10 years ago or more that dialysis was sliding backwards. Now things have started to get better. I'm happy to report there's lower mortality. Infections in some categories have come down. However, I become quite worried about backsliding when I see a dramatic gaps between infection rates between us and California. California had, well, especially, well, I really noticed the sepsis graph. It's a potentially lethal infection of the blood. Colorado is doing much better with something that looks more staff-controlled. Could rates be due to techs who can't see the start of sepsis, much like the tech I testified about in the last hearing who couldn't spot a heart attack? And could the sudden, some good news here, the sudden drop in sepsis and the rates from 2008 to 2009 in Colorado, I'm wondering if they could be due to the implementation of our tech program here in Colorado. I just still want to see us taking a chance here of backsliding. And I'm also afraid that, California came up with a watered-down tech certification program. I'm quite worried that if we leave a void here, that something like that could happen here. That's one of my worries, a big worry. I'm also worried. We check annually with the license for a tech certification. And I understand in California they're only checking every 3 years. I guess I'm quite worried that maybe people would be tempted to use people who are less qualified, possibly. Can we really trust the feds to do the right thing? So that's about
okay.
It.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for witness? All right. Hey, thank you very much, Chris, for being here and your testimony today. Appreciate that. Next, we have Lorraine Jimenez. Please introduce yourself, who you represent for the record.
My name is Lorraine Jimenez. I am a retired dialysis nurse. I retired in 2007. So I guess I'll just start in. I, of course, support that the dialysis technician be certified. Whether they're techs or nurses, they're patient care providers. All of us need the knowledge to know when a dialysis patients need help. The symptoms are very subtle. These patients are very, very fragile. They have many, many conditions. The patient care technician is required by most dialysis clinics to take care of 4 patients at a time. Plus, they have other duties. They have to get ready for the next shift that's coming in. They have to stock. They're not just sitting there watching that patient. As an RN, I was constantly scanning sometimes I had 16 patients. I know they're supposed to be 2 nurses on, but sometimes it was just me. And I would be constantly scanning and assessing patients. And I really did have to rely on my techs to give me information of what was going on so I could act and correct the situation. I would have really appreciated having certified techs that had passed this test. For a while there, I was also the staff education coordinator. So I taught staff, which was the RNs and the technicians, how to do dialysis. And it was the company I worked for had a 6 to 8 week course before the patient care tech could take care of patients on their own. That includes skills. And also, it was a curriculum that did have a written test at the end. in 2005, there was an issue. There was the company I worked for came up with the idea that we would have dialysis assistants to help the techs, and they would set up the machine. And this young lady was hired to be a dialysis assistant. She really wanted to become a dialysis technician. So the charge nurse okayed that and brought her into the program that I taught according to the company policy. We did do this for 6 weeks. She was able to do the skills part of it. She already knew how to set up the machine, and she could do all the requirements for the skills, but she had difficulty with the written curriculum, and she did not pass the test at the end. The charge nurse was very stressed. She did not have enough help to staff. And so she said, I don't care if she hasn't passed the test. I do want her on the floor. I need her now. And I said, well, she didn't pass the test. And so she said she scheduled her on the schedule, and she was on her own. What happened ultimately after maybe 6 months or so, the patients got very concerned over this person because they had heard one of the patients knew the family and knew that this girl had been in high school and all throughout her school that she was special needs. And so they were very concerned with her. They were afraid of her. So they called state. State came in, and ultimately the girl was let go. And there was some big upheavals of staff and all this. And so by her being let go, the situation was remedied. The point is that with certification, the people that are hiring are knowing that this person has to have a certification within the year of their hiring, and they are hiring more qualified people because they don't want to put the time and money on somebody that can't pass the test. And so therefore, they're hiring people that are more in the medical field, because I know there in the 2 years that I did teach staff, there were some people that were not medical at all. They just hired them because they thought they had potential. And that's pretty hard. So, basically, if you let the companies or the whoever it is for the dialysis, it's like having the fox guard the hen house. And sometimes when the stress happens, people get pushed in that shouldn't be. And so that's why I am really in favor of certification for the dialysis tech.
Okay. Thank you. Questions?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lorene. Deborah Hayes? Welcome. Please introduce yourself. We represent for the record.
My name is Deborah Hayes. I'm a former dialysis patient, so I'm here on behalf of patients. I was diagnosed with incurable kidney disease when I was 19 years old. I began hemodialysis in 1985. At that time, almost all of my dialysis technicians were RNs. During the 11 and a half years I was hooked up to a dialysis machine, I realized how dialysis clinics had changed from professional, knowledgeable staff with medical backgrounds to facility staff with technicians who often had no medical experience at all. The number of people who already are or will be when I was on dialysis, almost every single patient I knew or ever met was diabetic. The number of people who already are or will be diagnosed as diabetic is on the rise. One of the more serious complications of this disease is kidney failure. Since diabetics are one of the largest populations on dialysis, demand for dialysis technicians seems likely to increase. New jobs are important, but keeping patients safe is more important. What type of training would you want your technician to have if you were diagnosed with failing kidneys and dialysis treatments were the only way you could survive? Dialysis centers are filled with people who are elderly, quiet, and often plagued with multiple serious medical problems. A fragile population left at the mercy of whoever will be giving them their next treatment. In contrast, home dialysis is quite different. First, the patient and their partner, who does the job of the dialysis technician, train together for 6 to 8 weeks and is done for compassionate, non-paid reasons. The partner is only responsible for monitoring and caring for a single patient, not three, four, or more patients simultaneously. They also do not spin blood samples, set up other dialysis machines, and take other people off the machines. Their focus is on one person for the entire treatment. The pressure of time constraints and expected productivity are not existent. Rewind to when I was a dialysis patient before the 2007 law was passed. Out of curiosity, I asked a technician how long they train before they actually touch patients. Her answer, 2 weeks. Would you trust a mechanic to fix the brakes on your car who just picked up a wrench for the first time 2 weeks ago? Or someone training to be an electrician to rewire your house with just 2 weeks of training? Dialysis treatments are not optional. Without them, people with kidney failure die. Without this law in place, dialysis patients in our state will have no choice but to literally put their lives in the hands of technicians without certification requirements currently mandated. This is exactly what was going on before this law went into effect. Dialysis centers were allowed to decide how much training they felt was appropriate or good enough for technicians. The state of Colorado requires people who cut hair or apply artificial fingernails professionally to be licensed. However, dialysis techs do not need to be licensed. Without this law, only federal requirements, minus the yearly state compliance verification, will be in place to help protect patients. I fear what is currently happening in California could also happen here. Since 2009, states are required to have some type of certification for dialysis techs. Only 56% of people who took the federal test in California were able to pass it. Instead of more training, the state came up with their own version of the test. The same people who could not pass the federal certification test but could pass the watered-down state test could now legally dialyze patients anyway. Wow. Federal regulations are not enough. During a dialysis treatment, approximately one-fifth of a patient's entire blood volume is being circulated outside the body at any given time. This is an invasive procedure with many risks even performed in ideal circumstances. If the person who cuts hair is required to be licensed, doesn't it seem reasonable that people who perform dialysis treatments should at the very least be required to meet current Colorado standards of training? As legislators, you have the power to continue to help keep patients safe. I ask you to please continue to advocate for qualified technicians and to keep the current law in place.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Question, Representative Young.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me, and thanks for being here to testify today, I appreciate that. Your personal testimony is important here. Can you tell me, give me one or two examples of consequences might occur if a technician does a particular thing incorrectly?
Ms. Hayes?
Thank you. One of the biggest things is when you have a dialysis treatment, you have two needles. They're sized usually 15, 16, or 17 gauge. They're enormous needles. They're huge. And what happens is, I think it was Chris was talking, or the... she was talking about the blood is circulated outside of the body through a filter and then it comes back in. If someone is stuck incorrectly, that can absolutely ruin an access. If you don't have a functioning access in your dialysis patient, you're dead. That is the only way toxins are cleaned out of your body, and that's it. If you're not able to access the bloodstream to filter it and clean it, you die. Another thing is, I noticed a lot of patients with the staffing requirements of only possibly having one nurse on the floor. The way clinics get around that sometimes is Lorene told me, who just testified because she was a nurse, they'll have a nurse in the back doing paperwork. So legally there are two nurses there, but they're not necessarily on the floor watching the patients. I remember numerous times when I was a patient when I saw somebody passing out or in distress, or I had an alarm go off or something was going on. Nobody even heard. I had to scream to the nurse's station to get somebody down there to check on what was going on to a patient in distress. That shouldn't be happening. I think a lot of the people, because of the lack of training, especially that was going on when I was a patient, is that people need to be safe. They're allowing people to do this that aren't that aren't able to keep patients safe. That's what it's all about. I mean, creating jobs and, you know, having adequate staffing is a great thing, but it's like people need to be safe, and especially in a when they're put in a position where they're literally dealing with people's lives, they need to know what they're doing.
Representative Young.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to follow up on your first statement. You were talking about access. You mean if someone does a bad job of the stick and they ruin a vein or whatever, then that ruins the access on that vessel?
It can. Okay. And it has not happened to me, but I have heard of that happening.
Okay, thank you. All right, thanks. Thank you, Deborah, for being here and sharing your testimony. Janet Stevens. Please introduce yourself and you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Janet Stevens, and I'm here today representing the Colorado Hospital Association in support of the continued certification of dialysis technicians. Hospitals have several dialysis centers throughout the state, and we were at the table when this regulation was first started, I believe about 2007. And we did enter negotiations on this. Certification is the least restrictive type of regulation for professional entities. And due to the excellent national certification programs available to the technicians, we did support that they get that. At that time, we knew that the federal regulations were coming, and yet we were proactive in starting this just prior to when the federal regulations came into effect. That happened about 2 years after the certification passed by Colorado. To date, there have been no occurrence reports or complaints against the hospital centers. So to the extent that they do employ technicians, we do believe the system is working. Because of the nature of the job that hemodialysis technicians perform, CHA would support the continued certification through our state of this group of professionals. And thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions from the committee? All right. Hey, thank you, Janet, for being here. Archie Jones. Please introduce yourself and who you represent.
My name is Archie Jones, and I am a dialysis patient. I'm also a CEO for Black Transplants Action Committee. We promote organ tissue donation, but at the time now, we're getting ready to work more on preventing kidney disease. I don't know if you know, but there are about 31 million people that are in line for kidney disease, and 9 of 10 of them don't even know it. Now, that's how serious it is. So we know that it'll be only a short time before there'll be a lot more people, probably some of you up there, that might have to do dialysis now. I notice how the nurses sometimes, they say, well, they're not going to deal with that. You know, our doctors, they don't want to deal with it. You know, but as patients, you know, you have to decide whether or not you want to deal with it. And I'm really proud of the fact that I was part of the support group, Front Range Kidney Association, where our president was forever pushing the idea of techs being certified. When I initially went on dialysis back in 91, it was the most fearful thing I'd ever done. I mean, it's because you don't know what to expect. You don't know. And nobody really tells you anything, because how can they tell you all the changes that you might have to go through? First thing, you start losing weight. The next thing is sometimes everybody doesn't lose weight, but then you have to be stuck having access in your arm. Now, I had never been stuck with that. I hadn't even had a surgery. So now I have a surgery, and now I have an access in my arm. But before it went in my arm, it went in my neck. I can't remember, it's been so long. But put one in my neck. So now my arms, my neck, I have nowhere to put an access up here. My access is in my leg. And believe it or not, that's the best place for it. I'm just telling you as a person because I fought it so long, the idea of access in my leg. But just so you know, we often thought about the hairdressers and people like that I see with Dora that had to be certified. I said, George kept saying, how can these people be certified and technicians that are dealing with our life, dealing with our blood, three times a week not be certified? And when you think about it, it really became a serious thing. And that's why I can appreciate our Chris back there. Chris was part of the continuing coming to the committee, talking about it. You know, I know there are always some people going to say, well, you don't need that. You know, or they'll take care of it somewhere else. Well, listen, when you're sitting in one of those chairs and the nurses, you know, like she said, you got one nurse over here, the other nurse might be in the back, and you see somebody start sweating and having cramps, it needs to be instant, and you need to know what to do. And a lot of times, your techs, I remember back in 91 when I first started, the techs were not certified. The nurses were. But if the nurse wasn't around, a lot of times the techs didn't even know what to do. You know, all they could do is call a nurse. And there were instances in where the patients overloaded the technicians and the patients. What I'm trying to say is that there were not enough technicians and nurses for the number of patients that we had. And that was really pretty serious. But I would like to say, not keep messing around, but like to say I wish the committee would extend this bill.
Okay, I think Representative Peniston had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And
thank you,
Mr. Jones, for being here. I just want to thank you for taking your time to come down, and also especially thank you for reminding us today is Mardi Gras.
The day is Mardi Gras. I'm giving all my bees away, but you could have one.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. And thank you for being here. I'm glad to see somebody from Denver. I thought we just had the Northern Colorado delegation. No, thank you, Archie, very much for being here. Does anyone else care to testify on House Bill 1141? Seeing none, testimony phase is concluded. Let me see, Representative McCann, any amendments?
No amendments.
Committee amendments? No amendments. Amendment phase is over. We're to the bill. Wrap up, motion.
Mr. Chair, I think I've pretty much summarized the bill, and I think you've heard from the witnesses that this is really important. You know, we can sit here kind of in our isolated room here, but those folks who have to sit in those chairs for 3 or 4 hours while their blood is cleaned and recirculated and their lives depend on it really are asking us to make sure that the people who are doing this have this certification. So I would ask for your support of House Bill 1204.
Okay, thank you. Motion concerning House Bill 1204.
I would move House Bill 1204.
All right. Second. Do you want to send it any place particular, like the Committee of the Whole? Or?
Would be nice to go to the Committee of the Whole with a favorable recommendation.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to send House Bill 1204 to the Committee of the Whole with a favorable recommendation. Let's vote.
And Peniston was the second on that, or Fields?
Schaefer.
Sorry.
McCann and Schaefer.
Representative Bradford.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Representative Joshi.
Excused.
Representative Kafalis.
Yes.
Representative Kerr.
Yes.
Representative Massey.
Yes.
Representative McCann.
Yes.
Representative Peniston?
Yes.
Representative Schaefer?
Yes.
Representative Young?
Yes.
Representative Acree?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. That passes 12-0. Congratulations. Thank you, Representative McCann.
Thank you, members of the committee.
We'll see.
Anyway, let's take a brief recess, allow some members to stretch their legs and take a break. We'll be right back. to the state of Colorado. And, you know, because of that, I am making a motion to move House Bill 1281 to the Committee on Appropriations. Appropriations will become then the Committee of Reference, which means they will hear full and thorough testimony on the bill. They'll be able to assess the fiscal impact of this bill on the state budget and the state of Colorado, and I believe that will be an appropriate